Thanks for joining me today here on Supply Crunch. My name is Dave McCormick. I work at a place called Alpha Software a lot of the time. We work with a ton of manufacturing people, and I tend to do webinars to show people how to build software and do some other stuff. But more and more, I've been talking to manufacturing folks, and we thought, oh, this would be a really good idea for a podcast, just sort of see what they're hearing and thinking and stuff like that. So we came up with Supply Crunch. So welcome to Supply Crunch. So hello and welcome to Supply Crunch. I'm Dave McCormick. I'm your host, and I'm joined today by Jeff Zur from Altitude Water. And Altitude Water does something magic. It pulls water out of the air and turns it into drinking water. And I cannot wait to ask you all kinds of questions about that. I've been over to your website, which I think is altdwater.com. So hello, Jeff, and welcome to Supply Crunch. How's it going?
It's going awesome, David, and thank you for reaching out and to discuss, you know, which is probably one of the most challenging aspects of manufacturing, right? The supply chain and things yes. of that nature. So yeah. We always, number one, like to talk about a technology, but two, try and help give an education on things that we've tried that haven't been successful and things that we've tried that have, so people can try and learn from our mistakes. That's always easier. I always try, you know, if you make a mistake, Dave, I'm going to try and jump on it and learn from it, because I don't want to make that same mistake. I'll learn from your pain, right?
That's very good. Thank you, Ben. So what is your role at Altitude? How long has Altitude been around? Where are you based out of? You can just give me a little background.
Sure. So my team and I have been in the atmospheric water generator business for 15 years. This current Altitude Water was formed in 2019. Uh-huh. I had another company that my father and I started that got taken by venture capitalists. So this is formed in 2019. We are based in Lauderdale Lakes, Florida, which is right outside of beautiful Fort Lauderdale. Mm-hmm. We are true U.S. manufacturing. We're not just assembled in the U.S. We are a made in the USA product.
Wow.
And as I said, we've been doing this type of manufacturing and been in the water space for 15 years. Our flagship products are machines that make pure drinking water from the air, but we've also expanded to ozone purification and different other products to meet our customers' needs, because the water crisis is so large that we try and meet it in many different ways.
It really is. And drinking water and water in general is becoming a very, very scarce commodity. When I went onto your site and I saw that there is a machine that you can just plug in and it'll give you 7 gallons of water a day, I was like, oh, that's insane. Like, just pulls it out of the air and makes water. I mean, I cannot believe how useful that would be. I gave some of the examples I think I saw were people, just simple things like being in an RV. You know, you don't necessarily going to have access to clean water. Maybe you'll be your stream, but you might be out, you know, in the desert. I love being out in Arizona or Nevada and things like that. And you're not going to have water. Does it work in arid conditions and stuff like that?
Yeah, it does. But again, it's
slower, right? Yeah.
Right. So yeah. I always say, you know, if you go out and buy a Mr. Coffee Maker, right, you can't run home and make coffee. You have to have coffee to put into the coffee maker.
Right. Okay.
Right. So our machines capture the gas form of water that's in the air. But we can only be as efficient as how much water is in the air. So the great things about the property of water is that by temperature and humidity, we can know how much water vapor is in a cubic meter of air. So we know how much we can capture. So just like you were saying, we will work in a desert climate. It's just, instead of making 7 gallons or 15 gallons, might make 1 gallon.
Okay. Right.
So we're the most efficient company in taking the water out of the air, but how much is there? And then is it economical based on the electrical draw in order to make that water? What's your cost for water? Sure. Now, if you're in the desert and need water, I don't think you're worried about the electricity cost.
No, you're not.
I think you're making water. But, you know, let me just blow your mind even
all right.
in yeah. regards to that, is we don't only make water from the air, but we make water that has none of the impurities of groundwater. So PFAS chemicals, hormones, pharmaceuticals, just general chemicals that we've spent decades putting into our aquifers. None of that goes when water evaporates up from the ground. All of those contaminants are left behind. So we start with pure water. So what I like to say with all those filters are trying to take out of groundwater is never in our water. So the fact that we start with pure water makes the process a lot easier and much better for the consumer because you know on the properties of water, you're starting with pure water.
Excellent. Fantastic. Let's dig a little bit more now down into the assembly process. You have factories near Fort Lauderdale all over the country, or Fort Lauderdale's
Fort
in that
Lauderdale,
area.
we have some subcontractors that do various work like our metal fabrication, some assembly, but that's also based in Florida. But yes, we are. I call us a manufacturer. We are, but we're more of an assembler of a lot of different parts in our supply chain.
Sure, I got it. Great. So let's talk a little bit then about the supply chain. Most people had not really heard of the word supply chain unless you're in manufacturing until COVID came along and you suddenly couldn't find toilet paper and flour. So could you tell me a little bit, first of all, about, I know COVID's now some years ago, but like 2019, you were starting your business just at the smack dab middle of it. And can you tell me, were you running into challenges then? Are you running into challenges now?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Okay.
Basically, the supply chain in a manufacturer's life is probably the biggest things needed to overcome because obviously we need products to make our product, right? So it's and it's not even that, but it's also then when you're a global company and you're shipping globally, every country has different rules and regulations. Everyone has different different code and things of that nature. So it is, I'd say it all the time, is supply chain and shipping the bane of my existence. And I'm blessed to have a real good team around me. I mean, as far as the day-to-day operations of the supply chain, that I'm the founder of the company and I work with them, but I have to give credit to our team that has been with us that really handles that aspect of the business. But it's a huge avenue, and your margins are dictated by how well you work your supply chain,
That's
right?
a point.
So the margins are what we look at it by. What am I making on the sale, and is it going to cover my overhead? And whether it be volume increase, trying to get volume increases from my suppliers, where if I order more, my piece per part, price per part goes down. Taking quality versus, it's a constant value evaluation, right? Everyone always says that Ben Franklin's greatest invention is electricity. I think it's the T-graph. You put all your pros on one side and your cons on the other.
Okay, sure.
And you're doing the same thing with supply chain, right? You're looking at the value of the component part, not what's less expensive, because it may be less expensive up front, but if I'm getting returns or I don't have the quality over the long period, it's eaten to my margins and cost me more money. So you're constantly juggling what's the value, what's the cost. That's probably the biggest thing. And again, saying that my team's been together 15 years, I mean, we've been able to work with suppliers and testing, and we try and have three suppliers for each one of our component parts.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering that.
From what we experienced in COVID, I laugh. You say that no one knew about it from COVID, but both my niece and my nephew went to Penn State, and their major was supply chain. And I'm
No
like,
kidding.
what?
Oh, that's
Yeah,
funny.
I'm like, well, hold on. That was never, ever part of the curriculum when I went to school, right?
No.
And now, and they went and got their master's, and they've got some great. My niece works for J&J, and my nephew works for a really good consulting firm. So yeah, I mean, it came home. I'm like, what do you mean? Now all of a sudden running this business, I'm like, maybe I should hire my family.
It's a plan, actually.
I don't think I can afford them now. So.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, good for them. Excellent. You had talked about Quality. And so you certainly don't want returns. There must be all kinds of quality checks that you must do along the assembly line. Can you tell me a little bit about how that is handled? Is that handled? Do you have just inspectors at the end of each shift as stuff comes off the line? How does is that? I've heard of things like non-conformance reports and things like that from other manufacturers, but is that like a paper-based product? Is that all electronic, or is that a mixture? Is that how do you go about that kind of thing when you're
A
trying to.
mixture. I mean, we haven't integrated into a total database, computer-based system as of yet. Small emerging growth technology company. Those are some of the things that you say, oh, I'll spend my money on that down the line. Not to say I don't
Sure. Yeah.
have efficiency in it, but you're always dealing with cash flow in a manufacturing situation.
Definitely.
So, I will basically say that how do we handle that? Experience, reputation, and testing, testing, testing.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, we have a couple of things that we've learned over the years that if you're trying something new or trying a new component part, make one change per testing run, right?
Okay, right.
You're never changing two parts or, everyone thinks making machines that make water from the air is easy. It's a dehumidifier, right? No, all the systems work together, the purification, so you can change a fitting, and if the flow is not right and you're affecting the pressure in the system, it's not going to be beneficial to the ozone purification. It's not going to be beneficial to the ozone generator you're using with the Venturi to have the right pressure. There's so many variables. So, but one of the things that we pride ourselves here at Altitude is nothing goes in a box without being on the quality control line 24 hours. So now we also hope and believe we're going to get to the point where that will not be practical, that we have so much business but again, you get to that point of building that confidence level, right? That okay, we've now just done 98 machines on the line and not one of them failed on the line. So we don't have to, on the next run of 200, we don't have to have everyone on the line for 24 hours. Again, right?
Totally makes sense. Yeah.
It's a common sense approach
Yeah.
to and again, my team is common sense, where I say they don't have all those degrees and masters, but they absolutely have a doctorate in atmospheric water generators.
I imagine at 15 years plus experience, as sounds like a lot of your team members have, is very hard to beat. I mean, it would probably, I mean, if you were to ramp up, you'd probably have to bring in people without 15 years of experience, which might
Well, and
create some
that's
issues.
funny too because of the skills. I mean, we try and hire our HVAC people out of school and not out of the field because a majority of them go in and work for an air conditioning company and they're of the mindset that this machine's supposed to make cold air and not water, which are two totally different principles, right? I want to maximize my water production. So an air conditioning person wants to maximize cold air. So it's a foundational issue that we find it better to take kids out of school because they
Smart.
have, yeah. So that's a little.
They don't have to unlearn things that,
Yeah,
yeah, I
no, but
gotcha.
I'll never forget. I was out on Amy Grant's farm. We've had machines and stuff there for a decade. And I needed an HVAC guy to come out, and he starts arguing with me about how the machines set, and that we need to, I was like, this is not an air conditioner, this is an atmospheric water generator. And I got my guy Alvaro on the phone with him, and he hands it back to me. He goes, wow, that was an education.
That is funny. So I talked a little about supply chain quality control. We talked a little bit about digitization. It's a little bit of paper, a little bit of computers, got all that. The
Yeah,
last
you
thing,
got to train the guys on the ground to
yeah.
use a computer. It's tough to do that when they're used to a checklist sitting there and
Sure.
a sign. I mean, there are more
We've
challenges
encountered that as well,
just the
certainly.
cost than just the cost, right?
Yeah.
When you're growing, if you even you change a system, again, what's the benefit for manufacturing is that repetition, right? Ford showed us the assembly line way back when in history, right? That
Sure.
would be efficient if you gave one person to do this one job on this line all day long, right?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing even in systems. We talk to people and it's like, well, yeah, I agree your product does everything it said, but it doesn't do me any good if I can't get my guys to use it.
For
Or
sure. Yeah.
if it throws
Yeah.
them off for what they're used to. But we all have to change and we all have to adapt and we all have to get better. But when do you make that change? You don't make that change in a stressful time when you've got orders to go out the door because there's enough on people, right? So
For sure. Yeah.
I mean, those are all the things that go into supply chain and those decisions on that end. And a lot of times it's things you don't see, right? I know you from your business and with your software, you're gathering all the experience of all of these companies on what they've told you they need to make themselves more efficient, right?
Correct. Yeah, we have no idea unless we ask. Yeah.
Yeah, right. No, that's it. And how can you write something for them unless you know what it is that you have to do? So.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So my last question is a little bit off the wall, but I ask everyone about it, and it has to do with AI. Has anyone been playing with it, thinking about it, doing anything about it? It's early days, I know. I mean, it's maybe not for the AI companies, but early days for everyone else, you know?
No, it's not for the AI companies, right?
Yeah.
We think it's new, but there have been people working on this for decades,
Yeah,
right?
for sure.
So
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah.
I am very, very challenged, let me say, by AI. Number one, anyone that says that they're not talking about it is a liar, right? Obviously. Look at our evolution as a race, going from a Bacchus for calculation to Texas Instruments, and now
Yeah.
everything's on this thing that you and I growing up that we had to buy for school and everything like
Yeah.
that. Even the ruler, I could do a laser and get effects.
It's amazing everything that's in that little
Oh yeah,
package.
I mean think about where we've come.
Yeah.
We used to drink water out of a hose growing up. Now,
Yeah.
bottled water is the number one selling beverage in the world. So,
It's extraordinary.
the transformation and the things of that nature. I am sort of praying, thinking. I mean, I've had many consultants that are like, you've got to integrate it into all that you do.
Yeah.
Jeff, sometimes you send this stuff out and it's grammatically incorrect. Just put it in AI
Okay, well,
but I hate losing that human element.
I do. I do too. Right, exactly. Why should we
I
have
mean,
AI
call
doing all
me.
the cool human element stuff and not the
Right.
grunt work, which is really what we want it to do? Yeah.
Right. It's I without question. It's just like anything, right?
Yeah.
You can use anything for good, you can use anything for evil. It's take the internet. It's a great source for research and gathering information. But it's also used by a lot of bad people for a lot of bad things. So I really think it comes down to the individual. I think it has an incredible time saving, and I think it's a great tool, like to use it and get the structure. I mean, the part is always that writer's block, right? Well, if you can just talk your thoughts into an AI and it comes up with something, it gives you a foundation to really put your heart and soul into it after you get it back from them. So I am no means saying, oh, AI, it's going to take over.
Right.
But I think common sense isn't so common anymore. I think after COVID, I think when in the civilized world we physically fought for toilet paper when 99% of our bathrooms have a shower right next to it is proof that we lost common sense during that time. right?
You got a point there, man.
A right cross when really I could just step into the shower and I'm cleaning the toilet paper with it, maybe. And we're all blessed. 99% of the people in the US are blessed to
Certainly
have
true.
it. But I always
You're
believe in
funny.
taking a step back, common sense. And I'm also, what's right for one person might not be right for the other person.
For
So,
sure. Yeah.
I think we
Yeah.
all need to, I think you see that and when you go out to companies to help them identify
Yeah.
you have to really understand the mission behind it and how it operates so you can get the best efficiencies for what they do. Like I said, you could have the best product in the world, but if it's sitting on someone's desk, it's not doing what you paid it to
Oh
do,
yeah, for sure.
right?
Yeah. Yeah, and we've certainly come into places where we've seen these unbelievably beautiful ERP systems have been put in place that nobody knows how to use. Only one guy, and he's usually not there, and he's grumpy.
And
So
he's
that's
grumpy because no one
the
wants to work with him on the
Yeah,
stuff that he wants
exactly
to
right. So it's
implement.
doing nothing.
It's
That's hilarious.
amazing. And I think that that's the best approach. Like I said, we're getting to the point now that we've really got to start integrating more. So you said our website. So we just did our website to be integrated with Shopify store. So
Yeah. Yep.
Those are the things for the outgoing. We synced it up with our software for our inventory. And Jamie, what's the name of the software? So we use an Inflow. So we integrate
Inflow. Okay.
that
Yeah.
also with our accounting software. And so like you were saying, but the quality control lists that come off, who's the inspector, what are the things that they tested. So like I said, right now we test every system, whether it be the purification, the all you know the reaching the top flow, everything that has a relay or a switch
Okay.
to test is tested before it goes in the box and goes out. But again, that's all integrated. Eventually, I want to get to the place where we can upgrade to do barcodes and doing stuff like that. So
Sure.
those are all goals. And then again, it's constantly where does the profits go into investing for future growth versus just buying more inventory and getting a cost break on my, so those are the things
Sure.
that we're
Yeah.
constantly balancing. And as I said, I really am blessed with my team because they come back and say, okay, Jeff, here's this piece. It costs us $17 in materials and things, but I found a mold here, and if we do that, it's $4,000 out, and it goes from $17 to 65 cents. So
Oh, okay.
we have
Yeah.
X amount to cover our capital investment. When I can get a report like that from my and all of those guys that have been with us are now owners of the company. When
Great.
we bought
Yeah.
back, we made them all owners. But it's really the team
Yeah.
and how they work together, and then how he works with the people on inventory and stuff like that. So,
Yeah.
we try and do an inventory twice a year, just to make sure, and again, as we grow, we hope to be able to shoot one of our bins with barcodes and have everything integrated. But right now it's more of a handle on the processes. I'm not telling you this is your specialty, so
No, not yet at all. But we can only do our jobs when we know how, what are your pain points? What's going wrong? It's whatever. I know we can move data around. We're good at that. We don't know anything about water for purification. Yeah.
you need to know how we keep account and how
Sure.
we
Yeah.
order and again how
Yeah.
we make our valuations on
Yeah.
whether the quality versus the price is important.
Awesome. Hey, this has been absolutely terrific. Is there anything else that you would like to add? I would like to point out people should go visit Altitude Water right away, immediately, and get one of those cool systems, man. It looks
Yeah.
like they start at 4 grand or something like that
That's
for the lower,
correct.
yeah, but which is still kind of, if you think about what a plumber costs to send a pipe someplace, it's pretty amazing. Yeah.
When you think about
Yeah.
I just went this morning. We have two T100s, our commercial machines, going out, and we need
Yeah.
bolts. And I picked up bolts at Broward Bolt that we've been working with for years. And one of our first machines on our first run is still in the lobby producing water for it. So it
Fantastic.
sort of
Oh, that
warmed
is so
my
cool.
heart this morning. You know, the workers are getting all this stuff done. And they're like, okay, Mr. on the phone all the time, you go run and get us parts while we're working. So
That's fair.
you can work on your phone. So it was really gratifying. So yeah, you think $4,000, but you think, what do you spend over the next 14 years plus carrying it, storing it, plus the water quality, the plastics, what you're putting in your body? I think
Yeah,
it's
well, that's huge.
brain.
That's huge.
But I would appreciate everyone, even if you're not in the market for it, but if you like what we're doing, you like some of the humanitarian things. We just provided 1,000 gallons of water for a remote village in Maka, Cameroon,
Oh, neat. Yeah.
L'Oréal Women's Sustainability Fund. We provided disaster relief trailer for Asheville that through Footprint Project and Grassroots Aid Partnership that provided not only water but the electricity to allow them to that stay tuned to be making 600 meals a day in water for the
Wow.
Asheville. By the end of the week, we were up to 1,000 meals a day. So just based on that, if you would go and go to our YouTube channel and
Okay.
like and subscribe us, it gets our message out there, right? Again,
Sounds
you guys
great.
write software, so we got to get into that algorithm where people will start seeing
You know it. Yep. You
So
know it.
if you don't believe in spending $4,000 on a machine to protect your health for good, healthy water, at least like us and say, hey, here's a company
It's
that
doing
not
some good. Yeah.
cares about people. So that's all I would leave people with. I
Great.
truly appreciate that, and we'd be blessed.
Jeff, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. When this gets published, I will send you off the link. It'll be like a Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all the usual places where podcasts go. So I really
Absolutely.
appreciate your time.
David, thanks for reaching out and touching base with me and giving me the opportunity.
Yeah, take care, man. Thank you. Bye-bye.